and God has been merciful to us, and we thank the Lord for that. We'd like to for you to pray with us and for us as we share the Word of God. We'd like to turn to James, the second chapter. Start reading at the 14th verse. We're going to talk today about faith without works. And so if you start at James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and he have not works, can faith save him? He's asking a question to him. Who is it a profit if a man say that he hath faith and he doesn't have works to back it up? Does it profit him? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what's the profit of it? So in other words, he's giving us an example here. So you believe that this person can be warmed and filled, probably because you are. You realize how easy it was, maybe in your circumstances, to get food, and you just send somebody on their way. Be warmed and filled. I believe it can happen. But you don't give them the necessary things to make this happen. What's the point? So he says, faith without works. You may believe this, but if you don't put forth some effort to make it happen, it's not going to happen, is what he's saying here. Read, please. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. But wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou has faith, how faith worked, wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see that how? That by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them away out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now this is a very important and popular scripture that we've read here. Faith without works is dead. This is the essence of what we want to talk about here. A lot of times we say things, and I agree with this statement, that it is not by works that we're saved. We're not saved by works. It's not that we can do certain things and we can come to church a certain many, 100 times or whatever the amount of times may be. We can do a lot of good deeds for a lot of people, and we're saved. That's not what it's going to be. That's not how it is it? But it is important for us to understand that faith with works. There is a connection here to faith and works. There is something that we have to do. I think oftentimes we get into, and I want you to pray for us, oftentimes we get into situations and we're praying about a particular matter and we're seeking the Lord for it and we're saying, Lord, would you bless concerning this? And then there is something that the Lord wants us to get up and do. But yet all we're doing is praying about it. And we're praying and we're believing. And sometimes I've heard people say things like, well, I prayed and I believed that the Lord was going to do it, and it didn't happen. But you know, sometimes the Lord wants us to get up not only and pray, but Lord, if there is, I'm seeking you about this particular matter. I'm needing you to help me in this particular thing. And I'm asking you, and I believe you're going to do that. And I want you to show me what it is that I need to do, if there is anything that I need to do. Sometimes what the Lord wants us to do, what we're doing is just waiting. That's the work that the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to have patience that I'm able to do this and I'm going to take care of the situation for you if you're trusting me for it. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to sit here and do nothing in essence. The Lord may say that to us. But we're to seek the Lord and ask the Lord in the midst of all the things that we're requesting in our faith, Lord, I want to know what it is that I am to do in this situation. Because it says here in this scripture, it's putting together, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And it brings out some examples here. It says an example that all of us have, as we brought out earlier, that if there's somebody here that is a homeless person, and we believe that they need some food, and we can see that they do, and we send them on their way without doing anything, that's not proper, is it? It's of no profit. And in the same way, it says here that Rahab, she got the spies, and when they came, she believed what the Lord told her to do, what the spies told her to do. So therefore, she put works with the faith that she believed. And what happened? She was saved as a result of that. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 8. Have it read it for us. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Down to the ninth verse. Okay, so one of the things it says here, it says in one place that where we just read in James, it says the devils believe and tremble. So the devils have faith, you might say, that God is God and that they believe that he's able to do anything, but they're still devils. And so in the same way, there are a lot of people that are just like devils. You know them. They believe God can do anything, but they haven't confessed with their heart, with their mouth, and they haven't done the work that is necessary in order for them to be saved. All right? So it says, by grace are you saved through faith. It is by the faith of God. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand that it's going to take the Lord to save us, and it's going to take us doing something. What do we have to do in order to be saved? All right? Let's go to Romans 10, verse 8. Yes? Yes. Word is nigh thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. So what do we have to do? What is the work that we have to do in order to be saved? What is the work that we have to do here? All right, you have to, there is a belief. We have to believe, all right? That's number one. But we have to confess. So there is a work. There is something that we do. There is a physical part that I have to do. And if I am going to be saved, if you're going to be saved, if there's anybody that is going to be saved, they're going to have to confess their sins. It is not going to be that I'm not really that bad of a person. I'm a victim of circumstances. It's not going to be that. We're going to have to say, you know, I'm responsible for where I am. I'm responsible for every sin that was committed in this body. You know who's responsible for it? I am. You are. Every sin that you committed, you're responsible. You can't blame it on somebody else. You can't blame it as the victim of circumstances. The Lord's not going to have that, but I've got to confess with my... That is the work that is connected with my faith, and I believe that God can save me if I do my works. I believe in my heart that the Lord can wash away my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. If I confess those sins and I don't try to cover them up, I don't try to make it look like I'm a good old boy and things are just fine with me. When I confess, that's the work that I do. All right, read. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there is this correlation that faith has with something that I must do myself. So in every aspect from salvation, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to live right. And there is this aspect that there is something physical that I must do in order for this salvation to happen. That physical thing is that I must confess with my mouth. And I must believe in my heart. I have the faith. So faith without works. Now, if I don't confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus can save me, do you know what? There are a whole lot of folks that are like that. That they're not making, they're not putting forth the effort of having a penitent heart, a humble and a contrite spirit, and they never get saved. Their sins are never washed away because faith alone does not save you. This is what the Scripture says. I'm not bringing out anything that the Scripture doesn't say. So in James it says, can faith save alone save you? No, it's faith with the works. And not only that, with some of the things that we're seeking the Lord for, sometimes we're asking the Lord for a particular thing in our lives when we're praying and we're believing and we have not put forth the effort that God wants us to put forth in order to get the thing that we're desiring. Sometimes it's simply this. I've been in situations where I've been praying for something. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And sometimes what the Lord tells us to do, I want you to just step out on faith. That's my works. I'm gonna go forward by the grace of God, Lord, and I'm gonna go cautiously, and I'm not gonna go beyond you. I want to be led by the Spirit, and as the Spirit leads us, it's up there telling us, come on, step out. Step out on faith. I know that you don't see it, but there is something for you to do. It's right here. It's halfway here, and the only way for you to get it is for you to come to that distance. And so the work that I have to do is, Lord, I believe that, Lord, you're able to do this. And sometimes we say, Lord, I know that you're able to do it, but will you do it for me? Well, the way for us to find out is for us to do our part, Lord, whatever my part is. As we said, sometimes our part is to get up and do some things. Sometimes the Lord shows us that our part is to patiently wait on Him. I'm working. Not jittery, not sitting here twiddling your thumbs and anxious about it and not knowing what to do. That's not what the Lord... I want you to find a place in me that you can trust me and you're not anxious about it and you're not going to become discouraged about it. And I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to send a message your way. I'm going to send a testimony. I'm going to point you to a song. I'm going to point you to the Scripture. And what I want you to do is find a place in me. And once you do that, that's your work. That's what you're to do. Once you've done that, then I'll give you the thing that you're asking for. But I need, what do we do with our children? We don't just give them everything that they ask for, do we? Because we're teaching them something. We teach them principles. We teach them lessons, and as we teach them these principles and lessons, they're not just for the moment. They're for their lifetime. Some of the things, many of the things that we have learned as that we know as adults, we learned them as children, don't we? Didn't we? Some of the vital lessons that our parents taught us, you know what? They have this ADHD. You know what old folks used to do with folks that had ADHD? They'll tell them to go sit down and don't move until I tell you to do it. Now they want to give them all these meds and whatnot. The old folks taught us how to sit down and be still whether we wanted to or not. Didn't your mom and them teach you that? Don't move. Don't get up until I tell you. They had way, and these same, and let me tell you, one of the things that I'm learning even in my adult life, some of the things that I hated as a child are the very things that are my foundations as an adult. You know what my father did? My father was probably one of the hardest working men that I know. And I hated every single thing that he did. Every job, I hated farming. I hated trash haul. This is what I did as a boy. We picked up trash, other people's trash. That's not a very clean job. Especially when you thought you were dignified. And especially when you said, I'm going to school so I don't have to do this kind of stuff. This is what I did and said in my mind. I couldn't hardly wait to get 18. But you know what? I was talking to my son the other day, and I was saying, you know what? I'm so glad Dad did these things. Because you know what? You can give me a job, and I'm not just going to sit up here and talk about me today, but I'm bringing out a point here. I'm bringing out the point that you learn things as a child and the things that you go through that you don't like going through. When you have conquered yourself to be able to go through those things, why the Lord waits on these things, why He doesn't give you what you are desiring immediately. Because there's something He wants to teach you. He wants to teach you how to hold up even when you don't want to. How not to be a spoiled brat. When he gives you a job, or someone gives you a job, have you noticed in today's time you can give somebody a job and they never get it finished? You know why? Because they didn't conquer themselves when they were young. Lord, help us. And so in the same way, spiritually speaking, the Lord's not going to give you a job until you conquer some of the things that he, till you work on yourself. What does the scripture say? Work out whose salvation? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means? That means that there are going to be some work that you and I are going to have to do in our own lives. There are going to be some things that we're going to have to buckle down, and the Lord is going to say, I want you to work on you. Don't worry about everybody else. It is so much easier for us, for me to worry about my wife or somebody to worry about her, their husband or their child, because when we worry, when we look and try to control and adjust them in some kind of ways, we can take the spotlight off ourselves. But the scripture says you don't work on their salvation. You may see a lot of things that they're doing that you wish they wouldn't do. You may see a lot of things that they're doing that you're saying, you know what, I don't know how you're getting by with that, because I couldn't get by with it. Well, that's none of your business, is it? Lord, have to teach me that. You just make sure that you are doing what God, you're working on your salvation, doing what God is requiring and desiring you to do. And let me tell you, what I've learned is that when you do that, you're working so hard on yourself, you take your eyes off everybody else. You really do. All right? Okay, so that is, let's go to that scripture that we just read here. We just quoted Philippians 2, verse 12. And 12 and 13, let's read that. Wherefore, my beloved, you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, now much more in my absence. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the reason that I must work on myself is because God is working on me. God is, whatever the situations and circumstances of my life that I find myself in, God is working on me to make me more like him. And as he makes these adjustments in my life and I look more like him, my responsibility is to work with him. I am a worker together with God. So God is working on me. He brings about the circumstances in my life in a way that points me in a certain direction, and it causes me, many of the things that he does, causes us to go directly to our knees and to begin praying and asking God, Lord, have mercy on me. How many times have you been in a trial? And what does the trial do? The trial causes you to begin to draw closer to the Lord. How many of us would be as close to the Lord right now as we are, whatever that may be? Maybe you're not as close as you want to be, but would you be as close as you are if the Lord hadn't sent the trials along? There are some times that he sends things our way that we realize and understand, I'm not going to be able to get through this unless I have some help. I can't do this by myself. And so we do our part. We do all the things that God requires of us, that we understand that he requires of us. We do those things, and then we leave the rest of it up to him. Lord, I've done all that I know to do. I've done all, and what does the scripture say? After you've done all to stand, you just stand here. Lord, you come and rescue me out of this situation. And the Lord will do that. But there are some times that we are just maybe spiritually lazy. We don't want to put forth the effort. We don't want to do the things that God is requiring of us, and we try to make excuse as to why we shouldn't do it because it's too labor intensive. But I want us to know the scripture says faith without works is dead. So you don't have the faith. You can't grasp, you can't get the things that you're desiring unless you put forth some effort. There is some labor that you're going to have to do, and I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I believe you do. So you want to pay the bills, right? But you don't want to get no job. Who's going to feed you? Faith without works is dead. Well, Lord, I'm looking for you. I'm looking to win the lottery. You think that's going to happen? You know, most of the people that win the lottery end up broke in a few years. And so it's something to that, isn't it? There's a spirit to that lottery, isn't it? Well, why do the saints teach against lottery? It's a spirit against a spirit in it. I got all them folks driving up to Bossier City and down to the Choctaw Indian reservations playing all of these slot machines, and I guarantee you they've lost more money than they've made. Every one of them. Oh, well, I'm gonna make my money back, and I'm gonna stop. That's what they say. They do it the first time, and maybe the second time, but before you know it, I guarantee you they lost some money. You know what? It's the spirit behind it, and it's not the spirit of God. And so now, what you're doing, what do some folks do? Some folks need money, and what do they do? Go out and rob banks. That ain't the work she's talking about, is it? When we need money, what do? We say, when we need something, and Lord, I need to be able to make ends meet. And the Lord says, all right, I'm going to give you a job, but what do you have to do in order to get it? You got to go and fill out some applications, don't you? And you're saying, Lord, as we're doing that, here's the point. So that faith, I believe the Lord's going to give me a job that is able to support my family. And what do? We pray, we believe it, but we don't sit at home, do we? We go out and we get this application, and Lord, direct me to what job would be right for me. And as we do that, we fill out the application, and we pray, and we ask the Lord to do something for us. And you know what? The Lord does that for us. But if we sat at home and didn't do anything, faith without, I believe God's going to give it to me, and you ain't filled out, how many applications you filled out? None. Well, I don't believe the Lord's going to do it. You know why? Because your faith is dead. Lord, help us. You got that? There are a lot of things like that, I believe, that the Lord would have. You know, sometimes it's even, we go through sicknesses, don't we? And do you know most of the sicknesses that we have? And Lord, help us when we say this, because I know how hard it is to change your eating habits. I live in America, too. I love food. And you know, one of the things that we do in our generation, we eat junk food. You remember when we were children, I don't know if you can say this, but when we were children, we never ate out, ever. Maybe once in a blue moon. But nowadays, these, Lord help us, because I'm talking about me too. Our children grew up on junk food. Some of the folks knew us. I remember this one lady named Zandra, and she was at Wendy's. Lord help us. I'm going to tell off on us. I ain't going to say who did it. I'm going to tell off on it. And the children, after school, they'd go to Wendy's and get whatever they had on the menu from time to time. And when we haven't come for a little while, this is when I came to know we're going to this place too much. She reaches out the window and she says, I haven't seen y'all in a while. She knew us. That means you're going to that place too much. All right? Lord, help us. It's true. And we never ate out. So here's my point. My point is, we want the Lord to heal our bodies. And we have faith that the Lord is able to do it. But what are you putting in that body? What kind of food is going into it that calls you to get to the place that you are right now? Faith without works is dead. So maybe the way that the Lord wants to heal you is not so instantaneous. Maybe it's not that you come down to an altar and have the ministers, the elders to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Maybe that's not just what the Lord wants you to do. I know that that is what the Lord wants you to do, but maybe it's not just what the Lord wants you to do. It may be that the works that you're to do is to stop going to Wendy's every other day and McDonald's and eating processed food, get off the wieners, off the hot links. Lord, I like wieners and hot links. Especially when they're char-broiled out on the grill. All the processed food with all of this salt and all of these chemicals, maybe what the Lord wants you to do is to go and go to the vegetable aisle and spend more time there than anywhere else. And get you some good vegetables and start eating right. And as you start eating right, then that's the works that correlates with your faith. And now you're feeling better about yourself. You're feeling better in your body, not because you didn't have faith to be instantaneously healed, but because there are some works that needed to go along with the faith that you have. Lord, help us. We eat out too much. I eat out every week. Generally on Sunday. And is there anything wrong with that? Can we say, Brother Darrell, that's sinful for you to go out and eat? No, it's not sinful. But what I'm saying is that there are some things, there are some problems that we have that are a result of what we're doing to this body. And so we're looking to the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord to heal my body. Okay, well, I'm looking to the Lord to help you to eat right. That's the work that you're to do. Faith without works is dead. You're not going to get healed. You got diabetes and you're eating a donut for a morning, then you're eating a big slice of chocolate cake for lunch, and then you're eating, snacking on candy all day. Yeah, you got diabetes. I guess you do. Lord, help us. Now, are y'all getting upset at me? Okay. Am I stepping on anybody's feet? Listen, I'm stepping on my own feet. I'm preaching to me. Because this is the works. Faith without works is dead. All right. Okay. Matthew 11 and 29, a very familiar text of Scripture. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. You know what a yoke is? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is an instrument of labor. When you put a yoke on a cow, it's basically that you're going to yoke them up and you're harness them up and you're taking the power that they have and you are plowing a field or whatever. And in the same way, when we yoke up with the Lord, and there is the power of the Lord enables us to work on ourselves. And it makes it, my yoke is easy. What I require of you is easy. You know, sometimes we feel like the people say, the reason I don't want to be saved because you got to do all that. You know what? I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were saying, I really want a personal relationship with the Lord. I really do. I don't want the do's and don'ts. I said, it never has been about do's and don'ts. It never has been. And anybody that has preached the gospel in a balanced way has never highlighted the do's and don'ts. And let me tell you, there are some do's and there don't. In essence, the don'ts is you don't sin. You do right. But you know, I knew sometime these people, they have ulterior motives for what they say. So Lord, help us. So when we yoke up with the Lord, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we yoke up with him, he enables us to be able to work because he takes a lot of the weight. He pulls it, most of it for us. And all we have to do is just, Lord, I'm with you and I'm going forward by the grace of God and I'm gonna work on myself. I'm going to work on me. All right. Revelations 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. You can't bear them that are evil. You try them that say they're apostles and are not. You found them to be liars. Talked about that in our Sunday school, didn't we? Found them to be liars and has borne. And you've had patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored. And you have not fainted. Okay, that sounds like a good person, doesn't it? It sounds like a good, let's talk about a congregation here, a congregation of people. It sounds like a good person. I know your works, the Lord looks at your works. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the Lord knows what you're doing and he knows what you're not doing? He's watching from heaven. He's looking as to whether or not you're working out your own salvation and whether or not you're working whatever you're working on. He's looking at it. I know your works. And thy labor and thy patience, and that thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Do you know you can go through the motions of anything? You can go through the motions in a marriage. You don't have to love the person that you're married to. But the Lord says, you can do all the right things, but may the Lord help us to understand that there is a motivation of what what we're doing, what motivates us to do what we're doing. I love the Lord, and this is why I'm working and I'm laboring and I have patience and I don't bear them which are evil. It's because I have a love for God. It's not because I'm just going through the motions of this thing. So if we're not careful, we can lose our motivation. Our motivation for what? Why are we going to work every day? Most people, if you ask them, do you really love your job? Very few people can say that they just love their job, right? Very few people can say that. Some can, but few. So why do you do it? You do it because you love your family, don't you? You're doing it because you love having a roof over your head. You know that this is the thing that God requires of you. So you do it as unto the Lord. You do it as unto your family. It doesn't matter that you like it or don't like it. Men, you know it's the responsibility of the man to take care of the family. It's not the responsibility. I say this, and I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. It is not the responsibility of the wife to help the man to bring in the living. Uh-oh, Brother Darrell. If she chooses to, that's between the two of you. But it should be on the man's responsibility that when you say, I do, and you stand up there and you say, I do, and I am going to take this woman to be my wedded wife, you are saying that I'll care for you for the rest of your life according to the Scripture. As long as I'm able, you're saying that I take the responsibility to care for my wife and the children that she bears me. So whatever it takes, you do that. Now, if the wife decides that she wants to go to work, then so be it. And the children are up and whatnot. Oh, see, I'm stepping in areas that I normally don't step in, don't I? I personally, you know, I'm going to say it anyway. Y'all can take it for whatever y'all want it. I personally think it's good for when the children are, before the children go to school, that the mama be at home with the children. All right? Y'all getting awful quiet. Daycare can't take care of them like mama does. It's true. But if you decide that it's going to be in your best, it's the best interest of the family to get it to for the wife to work, then so be it. Make sure that child is taken care of. That's your first responsibility. All right? Okay, can we get off of that subject? All right. So is born and is patience, and for thy name's sake is labored and is not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Don't leave the love of the Lord. Saints, we can do all. We can come to church. You can read the Bible. You can do all the things that you know you're supposed to do. But you don't have the love of God in your heart. It's leaked out. Don't let that happen. Lord, help me. Help me. The reason I come to church is not because I'm doing it out of duty. My wife and I were talking as we were coming to church. She said, what do you think most people do on Sunday morning? I said, lay in the bed and enjoy themselves. Have brunch. I said, some go to the morning service, early service, to be able to get that out of the way so I can do what I want to do the rest of the day. Lord, help us. The central thought is not to come to service and worship the Lord. Lord, help us. Okay, I'm almost done. Proverbs 13 and 4. Yeah, and someone get us John 6 and 27. The soul of a sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And what we are, we live in a generation. Our generation has not really been taught to work hard. I don't know what our future is going to look like, but we found ways to get more out of less. And so we want to make more money by doing less work. And I think that that's maybe just a malady of the human race. All of us wants to get more money and do less work. I don't know that that's necessarily wrong, but I wonder if we don't allow that to go into our spiritual life. Let the preacher do all the work. Let the folks at church do all the work, and I get all the benefit from it. And when I said, and I get the benefit from it, is anything wrong with that? But Lord, help us to realize what the brother said in Sunday school this morning. He said that there is homework that you've got to do. There's some homework that I can't do for you. You know, one of the things that when the teachers send the homework, is you do it at home. Then you come back, and when you come to class, then the homework is done, and you it, 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 prepares you for the next step of what we're going to do in the lessons, right? Well, in the same way, when we have a message that the Lord sends our way, whatever that message may be, there is always homework with it. The Lord brings that message back to your mind, or a testimony, or the Word of God, and it's for us at home to put this thing to use. Now this is what Brother Darrell was talking about. This is what the preacher was talking about when they said such and such. The Lord wants you to make certain you do your homework. And when you've done your homework, it makes it a lot easier when you come to the next test, doesn't it? If you haven't done your homework, the next test is going to be pretty hard. Help us, Lord. So, all right. So, the soul of a sluggard desires and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. All right. John 6 and 27.
Labor not.
Labor not.
For the meat which perish.
For the meat which perish.
For that meat.
Which endures unto everlasting life.
Son of man shall give unto you.
Him has God the Father sealed. Continue.
Then said they unto him,
what shall we do
that we might work the works of God?
Jesus answered and said unto them,
this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
All right, that's good enough. That's good enough.
Then saith they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?
Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
So the work is to believe on him who he has sent.
Now you know what? We have our work cut out for us, don't we? Because nowadays, what do we have? We have so many competing questions, so many competing philosophies, so many competing things.
And we've got to work, fight through that, don't we? We've got to fight the fight of faith.
Lord, help us. So sometime in order for us just to believe, we've got to put forth some effort to do it.
May the Lord help us to do that. One more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3.
Remembering without ceasing
your work of faith,
your labor of love,
and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith.
In the sight of God and our Father. I want us to remember this. Remembering without ceasing.
He's praying for you. That there is a work of faith. There is something that you have to do. There is a correlation to what we believe and how we respond to that belief. There is a correlation to it.
So when we believe something, we must respond to it. There must be something. There is belief in one sense is a, or faith on one level is a mental process, is an act of the spirit.
Works is an act of the flesh, of the body.
The spirit is not something tangible in this world. It is real, but we can't feel it.
But we have to do something to activate the faith.
And oftentimes what God requires of you and me is he requires for us to work.
There is something that we must do in order for God to give us the things that we're trusting him for.
And so what we're to do, we're to seek the Lord. If this is one of those times, Lord, that being still, he says in one place, be still and know that I'm God. That's not an anxious stillness. That is a stillness, Lord, that I'm working on myself. I'm working to be able to trust you in the midst of this. And you haven't given me a clarity and an understanding of what my next step is. And if the Lord doesn't give you that, I'm not saying here that he requires you to do something. But I'm saying sometimes the very thing that he requires you to do is just to stand still and to know that he's God. That's what he told Moses when he got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses wasn't to do anything. That was the work that he was to do. When we have this desire to go forward and make things happen and the Lord is telling us to stand still, we're going against what the Lord wants us to do when we are not standing still like the Lord tells us to do. And when we want to stand still or lay down or sit down and the Lord is telling us, you've stayed in this place long enough, I want you to go forward. There is always something that the Lord wants you and me to do and in order to activate our faith that we have in him. Whether that's make a confession, whether that's move forward, whether that's stand still, we need to make certain that we're in the center of God's will and we have a clarity and understanding of what God requires of us at this time, at this place, for this thing that we're seeking him for. Pray for me.
Let us stand. There may be someone that has a desire to pray.